thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Ray Jeezy and myself, Olay. What's going on, Ray Jeezy? You don't like this new Olay thing? I peep game, dog.
I'm okay with it. I just said it's not original.
What you mean it's not original, man?
Olay, it's come
That's
on.
That's my real name.
Actually, I'm just saying again. Why change? Why make the change now? And also,
I had to. Oh, I'm gonna tell you the real. What happened?
No, I really don't need to know.
I will tell you. Since you asked.
I really did. I was throwing a thought out there that came out in question
form. You kind of did ask that.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. All right, so I went to this event, right? This networking event, and it was like kind of, it took forever or whatnot. So I went downstairs, and it was this girl, and we were shooting the breeze, and I was telling her my name, and she was like, "Yeah, my name is." Like Wally, and she was like, "But that's not my real name. My real name is like Woliola." She said, "You should stay with that. You should stick with that." And I was like, "You know
okay,
what?
Woliola, exactly."
Yeah, but I was like, "But my abbreviated real name is Wole." You know what I'm saying? So
all right, that's enough.
That's a real talk.
Valid. It is exciting though to be a DC sports fan and or covering DC sports, which we fit the bill for both.
Yeah.
Right now, regardless of. Whether you're an Orioles fan or not,
you know,
speaking
I'm
to you,
fan.
I know you are, but I'm just saying regardless, you are rooting for the Nets.
Yeah, I'm rooting for the Nets. You know, I mean, I am. I like a lot of players that the Nets have. You know, I like Steven Strasburg. I like Robles. I like Soto. I like Rendon. You know, I'm a big fan.
I feel
of most
like
players.
To some degree though, you don't have a choice at this point, which is kind of cool too.
What you mean?
You don't have a choice but to root for them.
I have two. Who else is out there for me to root?
Which is great because
I like the Dodgers, but I like the Nets over the Dodgers.
This show outline that I'm looking at, there's been times where the Nationals have been bashed on there. Like, we're going to talk about the struggling Nets when we come back from the break. Like,
you intentionally insert things
into show notes.
You and Will
to bash.
Always stated that, and I feel like you're trying to assassinate my character when it comes to talking about the Nets. I don't purposely put out negative stuff on the Nets. Back then, I never purposely did it. It was just what was talked about.
Well, the one thing I will give you is you're consistent. Whether it's the Redskins, whether it's the Wizards, if somebody's struggling, you'll put that in the notes.
Yeah.
But there was like a rivalry going on. Even when you know, we dedicate the show to Ron, at the end, we always say, "Mega, lead us out." You say that, whatever.
Yeah.
When Ron first passed away, I remember vividly. You know I have a good memory.
Yeah, I know you're too good of a memory.
You like, "Ron, we own y'all." That's what you said. The Orioles own the Nationals. And I was like, wow, like he's really talking trash about the Nationals right now. I said, there's a vendetta underneath the big good guy on the show.
But right now,
they're playing so well and they're so deep in the playoffs that you have no choice but to give credit where it's due and also to root for them.
I feel like you're trying to make me the villain. Like you're trying.
I'm not trying to. I'm just bringing up facts. I'm stating facts.
You're trying to
Am
make
I
me
stating
the villain.
Facts, Wally?
Semi-facts, bruh. Semi-facts.
Last thing before
we
start.
But we did own the Nets back then, though. We did own the Nets, though.
Anyway. I'll ask you. So let me ask you this. I'm not going to ask you about the girl situation. I was about to. But last thing, we'll get started. Do the Falcons own the Redskins?
I have no idea. No. Do they? When's the last time the Skins beat the Falcons?
2003, Patrick Ramsey.
At the moment, yes. At the moment, you own the Washington Redskins.
Okay. If you can say that, then I'll let the Nationals comment from before stand.
Yeah, we own.
But
we did. We own.
It's not fair because whenever the Ravens used to be the Redskins, you would say, "This is not a rivalry. I don't care."
It's not a rivalry. It was never a rivalry.
Okay, so neither is the Nationals Orioles. So
it's not a rivalry.
Put that out there,
it's not a rivalry.
To me, you were looking to create something.
I was trying to create beef. Okay, I know who I am.
All right. I appreciate the honesty. Now, get on that regular schedule.
All right. Subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher.
It's crazy.
It was a Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports
TV,
Scene
man.
Facebook page.
This is bullcrap. Sorry. I love women. I know that. But I'm just saying, it's discrimination. Guys, we get discriminated on in this business.
We do, though. Real talk, we do. We'll tease out.
Love you, ladies.
He would normally say this. Let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Here's what we have on tap. The Washington Nationals in the NLCS. You should have against the St. Louis Cardinals. Kevin Nibley from Talk Nats will join the show at 8:20. Sports Journeys, Karita Parks will join the show to talk about the Washington Mystics winning the WNBA Finals. At 8:30, we'll talk about the Washington Redskins getting their first victory of the season over the Miami Dolphins. At 8:40, we'll discuss the Redskins matchup with the San Francisco 49ers. Finally, at 8:50, we'll make our week seven NFL picks. But first, right now, we have Talk Nats' Kevin Nibley on the line. What's going on, Kevin?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Doing well. So, Kevin, you excited? Game 3, big. It's a big game. It's
It's coming on right now, matter of fact.
Game four, brother.
Game four, sorry.
Get it right.
I'm sorry. Game four. I'm sorry. You know what? I was reading my notes and I glossed over it incorrectly. I'm sorry, right? In game three of the NLCS, the Nats beat the Cardinals last night, 8-1, giving them a 3-0 lead in the series. One game away from the World Series. Like, I messed up, but yes, game four tonight. All right, 3-0 Nats. How are the Nats doing this, being up 3-0 against the Cardinals?
Oh, I mean, this series obviously has gone about as well as, you know, you could possibly have expected it. You know, obviously, Sanchez had like a no-hitter. I can't, honestly, it's been such a blur the last couple of days. Again, you know, I can't remember exactly, but I think it was in the 7th or 8th before he had to come out. Mm-hmm. I think Scherzer had a no-hitter going through 6 or 7 the next day. And then, you know, they come back to D.C. last night and get four runs against, you know, Cardinals ace Jack Flaherty, who, you know, his ERA in the second half was 0.9. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think for the Nats, that was great because that game three really for the Cardinals, that was, you know, their chance to get back in the series. They're throwing a pitcher who had been the best pitcher in baseball for the last 4 months, and the Nats got four off of them, you know, early and had him out, you know, after four innings. So, yeah, I mean, it's good times for our Nats fans right now. I don't think anyone expected us to be up 3-0 with a chance to sweep our way into the World Series for sure.
Hey, Kevin, do you ever watch these playoffs and say, finally, our bats have come alive after all these years in the postseason? Or did you expect the team to explode like this offensively?
No, I definitely am like, wow, the bats have finally come alive. You know, having watched some of our, you know, other postseasons, you know, I remember 2014, we couldn't hit anything, and the Giants kind of just beat us in a bunch of pitcher's duels. And the bats were decent against the Cubs and the Dodgers in some of those series, but we didn't, you know, really have Strass and Max both healthy for those series. So, I think that, you know, for the Nats, I think Mike Rizzo even said it, the stars have been stars. I mean, when you look back, I think when I talked to you last week, mm-hmm. it was right before that Dodgers game, you know, and when you look at stars being stars, I mean, Rendon and Soto going back to back off of Kershaw mm-hmm. when they needed the most in the 8th inning, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. that's never had anything like that. You know, their money guys have been money, and some of the guys like Anibal Sanchez, who you aren't necessarily expecting to be money, have, you know, been playing above their heads. So, yeah, I mean, everything's clicking for him right now, for sure.
So does Davey Martinez deserve a lot of credit? Because we're talking about the bullpen coming into this postseason. The bullpen was much maligned, and he's used starters, and also he's found ways to utilize Doolittle and also Hudson and even sprinkle in Rainey. So does Davey Martinez deserve a lot of credit during this whole postseason run?
Oh, for sure. I mean, you know, obviously Davey was on the chopping block when they were 19-31, and pretty much every Nats fan wanted to fire him. A lot of people in baseball, I think even on some of the betting sites, you know, he was the favorite to be first manager wow. fired this season. So, you know, for him to hold the team together and to get him here is great. Just, you know, we've always known Davey, the players like playing for him, and he's good from a chemistry perspective. But, you know, the one thing that has always been a knock on him is he hasn't always been the best tactician, especially in close or big games. But, and, you know, every button he's pushed has been right. I mean, yeah. I remember back in that wild card game against the Brewers, he pinch hit Michael A in the 8th inning of the game. We were losing 3-1, and I think everyone on the internet was about to explode. Like, why would you pinch hit Michael A? You know, Michael A worked a walk. He got hit, you know, and, you know, pretty much every move, knock on wood, has worked for him. Last night, that game got it never really got too tight, but there was a tense moment when Soto had the error. It was 7-1, yeah. and the Cards had a couple guys on base, and, you know, Strasburg was tiring, but, you know, he was able to get through that without the Cards inching mm-hmm. back. He's been pressing the right buttons for sure.
Definitely. Speaking of Strasburg had another special outing last night, which referring to 12 strikeouts. Are we looking at a legend in the making?
Postseason, yeah, potentially. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, he's been great. You know, I mean, obviously, I think a few years ago against the Cubs in an elimination game for the Nats, he had the flu or something. I think he was sick, mm-hmm. and there was some question of if he would even start. He came out, shut down the Cubs for 8 innings. You know, he obviously pitched 3 innings in a wild card game, kept them in that game so they could come back. And even, you know, but the thing about Stras in the game I was really impressed with was that game five against the Dodgers, because mm-hmm. that was a night he really didn't have
his best stuff.
And the Dodgers got to him early, but he was able to gut up and keep it there, get through 6 innings, and give the Nats a chance. And, you know, if he had wilted in that game, you know, the Nats didn't really have anyone else to go to. You would have been looking at, you know, Austin Booth or whoever in the fourth inning, you know, if Stras had gone off the rails. So, yeah, you know, maybe we're probably not talking right now about the Nats, right? You know, his stuff plays in the postseason, and his changeup is probably, you know, might be the most devastating pitcher in baseball right now.
It's filthy.
Yeah,
it's like a splitter or a split change. It's almost like a splitter. To be honest with you.
And if you look at there's a really good Twitter site, if you haven't seen it, called I think it's at Pitching Ninja. It's mm-hmm. a guy who does overlays of all the pitchers and the different pitches and the arm spots. Mm-hmm. And when you look at Strasburg's fastball and changeup, that pitch looks exactly the same to hitters for half mm-hmm. the way, and then his changeup just dives in the dirt. And that's why, you know, he's able to make major league hitters look so foolish.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene right now. We're chatting with Kevin Nibley from Talk Nats. So game four is on now. Patrick Corbin just retired aside. Do you think he will continue this pitching dominance, this trend that we're seeing with the starters with the Nats?
Hopefully against the Cardinals, yeah. Honestly, I do feel like the Cardinals, they look like a team to me yesterday that were ready to quit. I mean, I don't want to take anything for granted, but as soon as, I think they got a guy, I think they got a Zuna on second, maybe in the second inning with no outs, and then he ran into an out at third on a rundown. And then, you know, an inning later, as soon as Eaton singled in Turner, yeah, I'm sorry, I can't remember his turn. But as soon as Eaton singled, I guess Robles maybe, as soon as Eaton singled to make the game 1-0, then their wheels fell off right away. So I do think, you know, I think the best case scenario for that tonight is to grab an early lead. I think if they can do that, then I think the pitching dominance will continue against the Cardinals. I mean, for whatever reason, their lineup, you know, who was and to be fair, their lineup was a pretty light hitting lineup for a playoff team coming mm-hmm. into the postseason. They weren't, you know, they're not like the Yankees or the Astros or even the Dodgers or even the Nationals. You know, they don't really have a scary lineup per se, but they were playing winning baseball and doing a lot of small ball and all that, and eking out a lot of one run games. But it seems like they have not had an answer to Nats pitching, and I do think there's a chance that the Nats can get an early lead tonight that, you know, they might just kind of go away, and it could turn into a party, hopefully.
Kev, last question. In the scenario that the ALCS were to go, let's say, 6 or 7 games, and the Nats sweep, should they be worried about, you know, a potential layoff considering they're hot right now, or do you view that as a possible rest period, a good rest period for the pitching staff?
It's a great question, and, you know, a lot of teams have had problems with that. I think 2015, the Mets kind of got on a run like the Nats are in now. They swept the Cubs. Then they had a week off, and that hurt them against the against the Royals. But, you know, I think for the Nats, I mean, yeah, they're so hot, you want to keep playing every day. But the good thing, you know, the bright side of that would be they could really line up their rotation. You know, they mm-hmm. could set their rotations. So if they do play the Astros or the Yankees, you're starting Scherzer and Stras the first 2 games on the road. You know, maybe you can grab a lead. You know, you'd have them back in games 5 and 6. And maybe one of them out of the bullpen and you know, a potential game 7. So if the Nats do get a break, they can really set their rotation. So, you know, the Yankees or the Astros would have to, you know, beat Strasburg and Scherzer. You know, they'd see them 4 times in the first 6 games, you know, which is a huge advantage. So that would be the plus. But, yeah, I mean, when you're as hot as this, mm-hmm. you want to keep playing. So, you know, we'll see. Hopefully.
Yeah, and you're right. When you're hot, like, you want to keep playing. But at the same time, like Ray said, you know, the end part of that question, like, obviously giving that time for Stras and Scherzer and Corbin to get that rest would be beneficial to me, because they have been used a lot.
some in the bullpen mm-hmm. during this postseason. So getting that rest, getting that opportunity to rest their arms, knowing that you got, you know, one more series and you can go all out, I think that's really that's important.
And again, too, in the World Series, they would be the underdogs to either mm-hmm. the Yankees or the Astros. So they might need to do what they did yeah. against the Dodgers, where they have to start using the guys who aren't pitching, you know, in relief on their, you know, bullpen days. You know, so maybe they throw Max in game one, but, you know, in game four could get two innings from them, you know, and, you know, out of the pen if they need it, something like that. Mm-hmm. So maybe the rest helps them there. You know, they've been lucky against the Cardinals. I think Corbin might have pitched one batter, I think in game one or two, I can't yeah, remember, but they one, haven't really had yeah, to use their starters.
Two pitchers, series, two pitches, so. Two pitches, yeah. two pitches,
okay.
that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, it's, you're right, definitely. So, but, hey, Kev, thanks for being on. Could you let our listeners know about your podcast and also how they can catch you on social media?
Oh, totally. Thanks. Yeah, our podcast is the Talk Nats Podcast. It's follow us on Twitter. It's at Talk Nats Podcast. And definitely go to talknats.com. It is definitely the coolest, most interesting, smartest place to talk about baseball on the internet. And thanks again for having me, guys. Really appreciate it.
Oh, Kevin, we appreciate it. And also, the Nats are about to score right now. Second and third, no outs, first inning. So,
go Nats. I need to get off the phone with you.
Yeah, go, I know. Go watch. Go watch, Kevin. All right, thanks again, Kevin.
All right, thank you. All right, take care.
Take care. All right, man, that is Kevin Nibley from Talk Nats. So make
I
sure
appreciate
check him
the
out,
knowledge. Man. It's amazing how Davey Martinez right now is riding a hot streak as a manager.
Yeah.
And
it's the truth, though.
The criticism has now dissipated.
Yeah.
And the thing is that we need to remember is when he was being criticized, a lot of it was warranted.
Yeah.
And now he's being praised for the right reasons. It's nothing unfair, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
And again, the results are what they are.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why, hey, this is why he's not necessarily being viewed in the same light as he was before. But yeah. He's got to be consistent over the course of years. But for DC sports, for baseball in this city and in this area, this is huge.
Yeah, just like any young player, any rookie, anything, you know, like improvement. Davey's a young manager, and he's showing improvement. In this postseason, he's managing. He's not just managing average. He's managing at a high level. So, you know, I was a person that was very critical of Davey Martinez. But, you know, you just got to call it out for what it is. He's been very impressive in this postseason. As a manager, he's made all the right moves.
I'm glad they're having fun.
Mm-hmm.
In past postseasons, the Nationals just simply weren't having fun. There was pressure on them because they were expected to win and to make a deep playoff run like mm-hmm. they're making now, and they didn't produce as a result, I think. And now, you know, they're just having a great time out there playing ball, and that's what the game is supposed to be about for everyone who plays professional sports and sports mm-hmm. in general. You want to have fun and enjoy the game that you love, but when there's pressure on you, when you have expectations set so high at times, it becomes difficult. But as you see, just a lot of fun right now watching the Nationals do what they do.
All right. The Mystics are your 2019 WNBA champions.
Yeah.
Sports Journey's Washington Mystics insider Karita Parks will join the show after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Saint for ages. You dig? Deuces. I got loyalty inside my DNA. Quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though, ambition, flow inside my DNA. I was born like this, is born like this, immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this, which yells you a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate, then off your head. This that put the kids to bed. This that I got realness. I just kill shit, cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. DNA. I just win again, then win again like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound, the engine, and it's like a bird. You see fireworks and Corvette tire skirt, the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use it. Your arm will probably switch inside your DNA. Problem is, all that sucker shit inside your DNA. Daddy probably snitch, heritage. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Wole and Ray. Ray, you want to say something about my name, man?
I have no words. No words for it. I've already said my piece. It's all good.
Anyway, right now we have Sports Journey's Washington Mystics insider Karita Parks on the line. What's going on, Karita?
Hey, how are you?
We're good. I think, and Karita, we talked about this on Twitter. I believe you know my boy Ray. Ray covers the Mystics as well. Ray, I think she said she's seen you before with the Rambo team.
Oh yeah, I was
yes,
in the building.
I have.
So I guess you're as excited as I am, if not more excited, just the fact that you were in the building to witness history. How do you feel about it?
Man, that was just a great experience. I knew it would be cool to see that, but when you are in the building and you experience it, like you said, it was history.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like unforgettable moment as a person in the media, and I'm sure especially for the team.
So, all right, so how did the Mystics pull out game five to win the championship after like a tough loss in game four?
I just think that they were focused. I mean, if you really go back to the beginning of the season, their motto was run it back. And you just, I mean, you heard that throughout the season. It was hanging in their locker room. So I think it was a constant reminder for them. And, I mean, even if you look at game five, that game was close for 90% of the game. But you could just see there was a moment where everything just started clicking. Shots were falling. I mean, Emma Mieseman, she stepped up big. Like I said, the shots were falling, and you could just see that change in momentum. The crowd was really into it. And there was a point where you were just hoping they would pull it out. It's like you knew they would pull it out, but you were still hoping they would pull it out because you couldn't be too sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just think they got that eye of the tiger towards the end of the fourth quarter and pulled it out.
Karita, in my post game, I pretty much summed it up to Emma Mieseman and Elena Deladon. They took the game over in the fourth. But prior to that,
yeah.
Natasha Cloud being a leader, keeping her team calm in the huddle when they were down 9 points in the second half, I think that was huge in terms of them gaining momentum. And then she hit that big three to tie the game at 70, and she got the crowd into it. And from that point, there was no recovering for Connecticut. What do you think?
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I mean, Elena, she's the league MVP, and she's been stepping up. And I think, you know, that point where they thought they lost her, I think they definitely really needed her. And she came back. And I think that they know, because you heard that she's playing with three herniated discs. So, you know, she was there for her team. Like, they knew that she had three herniated discs. So she stepped up. Like you said, Emma stepped up. And then Natasha, she's been a leader all season, but especially in that game, it was really, I mean, if you look at the Mystics team, they've been a unit all year, but that really showed up in game five.
Yeah, can we like focus on Mieseman? I mean, winning, like she won the WNBA Finals MVP. Can you talk a little bit more about like, you know, how dominant her run was, just not just in the finals, but in the postseason?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because Coach Tebow, he said when Elena got hurt, he said that when that happened last year in the finals, they didn't have Emma.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked him how he thought she could be a differentiator. And he said that she had been a differentiator all playoffs, like you mentioned. I mean, I think she's just grown as a player. And you hear her teammates say that, and you could tell, like, if you were watching her in the game, not only was she scoring, but she wanted the ball. She was asking for the ball. So she was really stepping up in that moment, and it just showed. She deserved that.
Mm-hmm.
She definitely deserved that.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene right now. We have Sports Journey's Karita Parks on the line.
Hey, Karita, you know that Elena threw out the first pitch in the Nationals game tonight. This is a nationally televised game. It's huge. This game could send the Nationals into the World Series. So just what do you think the impact is of the Mystics, winning this title in terms of just the exposure for the Mystics? I know they're big in this area already, but I feel like it's just they've just grown because of what they accomplished this season.
Oh, for sure. I mean, the WNBA, I think, have a following, you know, but we talked about this a little bit before, how the support of the team, although they have that following, there still needed to be more support for the team. And I definitely think in them winning the title, like, at this point, you have no choice but to support the team. I mean, they brought another title to the city. The Nats did that. They're women on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, from an exposure perspective, they were on Good Morning America.
I love that.
They're on, like you said, they're throwing the first pitch at the Nats game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, definitely they're giving the city a lot more exposure. And that was, it's important. It's important, number one, because in my opinion, as a woman, they are women who won a title for this city. And you got to respect that. And I definitely think they'll get more of a following next season.
Definitely.
For those who are not already following them.
Definitely. So what does the championship do for the league MVP Elena Deladon's legacy?
I think it put a stamp on her legacy, really, because, you know, she talked about this a little bit. She's been hurt and injured quite a bit. So I do think that winning that title, like I said, it puts that stamp on her legacy. You probably won't hear the murmurs of how she was injured. Like, all people talk about was her injuries in playoffs or her injuries in finals.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have to talk about her as a champion
mm-hmm.
and leave it at that.
Definitely. She can be on GOAT type level soon, man. she could definitely be on GOAT type level. Hey, Karita, thanks for being on. Before I let you go, let our listeners know how they can catch you on social media and how they can catch your content as well.
Sure. You can catch me on social media on Twitter at Karita C. Parks. I'm on Instagram at The Real Karita. And you can check out my work for the Mystics as well as the Wizards on sportsjourney.com.
Well, Karita, thanks for being on. You going to be at the Skins game this week?
I sure will be.
I'll see you there.
Yes. Thanks again for having
me. No problem. Have a blessed one.
All right. You too.
All right. That is the great Karita Parks from Sports Journey. She's the Washington Mystics insider. As you can tell, she's the insider of many local football teams, local sports teams, excuse me. I said local football teams, many sports.
Hey, we're getting
teams.
Ready to talk football next.
We are, though.
Good segue, brother.
You know it, man. The Skins finally got a win, man. They finally made it. They finally did it. We'll discuss this after the break. Listen to Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Ray G's and myself, Wole. Will T is out. The Redskins defeated the Miami Dolphins 17-16 to earn their first victory in the 2019 season. Thoughts?
My initial response, especially was seeing a lot of the feedback online,
mm-hmm.
which basically said it's the Dolphins, so to speak.
Yeah, pretty much.
But I feel as though if you're watching like the rest of us in this area, the Washington Nationals, who were 19-31 after 50 games and now are pretty much 8 innings away from the World Series right now because they're playing as we speak.
And they're up 5-0.
Regardless of who you beat this week, I feel as though you should build off of this win.
Oh, wow.
You should make sure that you reinstill confidence in this defense, which we all thought
mm-hmm.
preseason was going to be a really good defense. I know you had your concerns mm-hmm. after seeing them play,
mm-hmm.
but we know, as we indicated early in the year, that they have the personnel. Why can't you make a run in a division that's wide open at this point? Because Dallas right now does not appear as good as what people thought. Philly is a bit inconsistent. Mm-hmm. And then the Giants have a rookie quarterback and a defense that's not so good. Mm-hmm. So why can't you make a run similar to the Washington Nationals and potentially steal this division, which 9-7 might be able to win it?
That's very nice.
I'm just throwing out there. This is different from what any. Wow. This is different from what anybody else.
The Nats are really putting it on them. Is that seven runs, dude?
Six of this.
I thought so. Six. You're right. Six. Good. Seven. I'm
you're
right.
Right. Sorry. 80% or whatever.
No, 95.
Sorry.
95%.
All right, 90.
95. It's back up, dog.
Okay.
Because Astros are winning.
As we speak, the Nationals are pouring it on St. Louis, and I'm being real. We thought that if the defense can keep the offense in games similar to what the Chicago Bears do, mm-hmm. you can steal some wins.
Well, I do like what Callahan showed.
Running the ball.
Miami. Yeah, run the football. I stated this. We stated this in preseason, right, Ray? We said this team wasn't going to be able to beat teams by airing it out. We said they would have to play solid defense and run the football. That should be their recipe to try to win games and compete. Now, the Dolphins were a bad team, and they were up. This team should have beaten Miami by more points. They were up 17-3. Had an opportunity to put the game away. Hopkins missed, a 55-yard field goal. But they had opportunities to blow this team out and not for this game not to go, you know, to the last minute or the last seconds where the Dolphins had the opportunity to win the game by going for a two-point conversion. And if they had got the two-point conversion, they would have won the game. But at the same time, a win is a win. I know what Ray is talking about. Momentum is a big thing. You get one W, you never know what can happen after that. But what I liked, I'm going to just go on the positives. What I liked is that they ran the football. They were committed to running the football, which helps a bad defense. And this defense has been exposed at times. We've seen many times this season. Now you limit that by, you know, playing the ball control game, running the football, keeping that defense off the field. And then every once in a while, when that defense does get an opportunity, it can make a couple plays. And now that defense is more confident and they play better.
And I know we're talking about the Dolphins game in particular, but be real. Against the Patriots, the Redskins were in the game.
They were in the game.
They were in the game almost every week outside the Giants game. That's where they seemed to just be giving up. But every game, in my opinion, they had opportunities. It's just like they blew them. Even in the Chicago game, when you got down big, if, let's say, Case Keenum doesn't try a goal line quarterback sneak wherever you're at the 30-yard line. But I'm just saying, little things like that hurt them, but you were in games. I'm just saying they can win games now moving forward. You now got rid of your coach. You have that distraction gone. What do you have to lose? And again, your division, you're only two games back. As bad as this season has started, you're only two games back. Why not go for it? Callahan wants a head coaching job. He said that a while back.
He did okay with the Raiders for that one year, for one season. He was okay with the Raiders.
I said last week he doesn't have the best reputation among players, and we heard that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, again, this is an opportunity for him. Yeah. So I'm sure he's going to give it all he's got, and the team should give it all they have.
Yeah.
You mentioned veterans off air that mm-hmm. potentially could be moved. They also are playing for some. Josh Norman, to me, is playing for some. I don't think he's done after this season. But many would think
done
he
where?
Is. Huh?
Done isn't.
I'm just talking about his NFL career.
Yeah,
it's not over yet.
It's not over.
So there's a lot of these guys. There's a lot of these guys are playing for. You were mad at me last week because I said the receiving core was unproven and experienced. And McLaurin has a big game. You love Terry McLaurin, as does everybody else. Mm. He has put up the numbers this far. Still only, six games into his NFL career. He missed a game. Yeah. He still doesn't have a lot of experience, but he's shown flashes. Mm. I'm thinking you just build off of what you have. A good defense with good good personnel. Excuse me. I'm going
good to personnel. Thank you.
Good personnel. And that's what I want to clarify.
Yeah, I know,
and
right.
And then an offense where Case Keenum is experienced. He has made some big plays in big games, a la Minnesota, Stephon Diggs, New Orleans Saints. I'm thinking that, again, you can probably make some moves. Even if you don't win a division, make all the effort to. Dallas, if they lose to Philly, you have both of them sitting at, 4-3? Am I right or am I wrong? Oh.
If one of them, you mean the loser, will be 3-4. The winner will be 4-3.
4-3.
Yeah.
So the top of your division will be 4-3.
Yes.
Presumably, you could be two games back still at the end of this week. I'm just saying, it's not like it's not like another team's creating separation. That's what I'm saying.
No, I'm with you. I mean, I think this division is weak. I mean, you're right. The NFC East is weak.
Whoa, I didn't say that.
No, I'm real.
I'm just saying, because in the past, you know, I've gotten screamed at.
No. It's weak. It is what it is. Don't let Lex hear that.
Well, we got to defend.
I will say, though, when Deshaun Jackson comes back for the Eagles, I think they'll be a powerhouse.
Yeah, they just can't defend nobody. Yeah. I was up north this weekend, mm-hmm. and I watched the Vikings game, and it was sad. It was like they didn't even run patterns. They were just running past.
But the secondary has never been the best. Like, to be real, the pass rush has always been what held them down.
I'm just throwing it out there. Deshaun does make a difference on offense, but if you can't stop nobody.
No. I'm agreeing with you. What I'm saying is I agree with you. I said, like, if they're not getting a pass rush, that secondary isn't good. You know, it's been hidden by how good the pass rush has been. So, yeah, the Eagles aren't the strongest defense in terms of at the totality of things, right? The secondary isn't good, but the front seven is pretty good. But if they're not getting pressure, then that secondary can be lit up. And we've seen that on a number of occasions. Even the Skins, they torched the Eagles secondary in week one. And again, we've seen them struggle over some odd weeks with other defenses in terms of getting open deep. So, yeah, the Eagles aren't the strongest team in the world. The Cowboys, they are who we thought they were. Everybody had anointed them as Super Bowl champions, and they played the Giants, the Redskins, and the Dolphins. It is what it is. And now they're back to reality. So, yeah, I'm with you, Ray. There's an opportunity, but things have to go a hell of a lot well for the Washington Redskins to get back into the picture.
They're already back into the picture, in my opinion. Like I said, only two games back in the division. That's how I look at it.
Yeah.
Again, and I'm thinking that you can draw some inspiration from the Nationals, who were 10 games behind the Phillies at 19-31, which is amazing to think. And Philly didn't even make the playoffs.
Positive thinking. I love it, though.
Another Philly team.
Look at you, dog.
There we go. The comparison. Thank me later.
I know, right? What differences?
They are who we thought they were.
So in the game, what differences did you see between, say, a Callahan team and a Jay Gruden team?
No, what you already pointed out. Mm-hmm. Running the football. It's that simple. Mm-hmm. You stuck with the run. I don't care if it's Miami. You stay committed to it. And to me, it paid off. Adrian Peterson still has a lot in the tank, as we know. Mm. And Jay Gruden didn't treat him fairly. Callahan, who obviously was the offensive line coach, I feel as though he's a little more capable of coaching the run game and coaching an effective run game. Ever since Jay Gruden was hired, the Redskins' run game was pretty much non-existent.
Yeah.
So that was going to be the obvious change. Mm. And then just the players' body language, to me, the energy they came out with was different. But I know when, you know, you're not winning games, when morale is not great in the locker room, you're going to come out flat at times. Mm-hmm. And with a change, which is what was needed, Bill Callahan seized the moment against a bad opponent. And maybe that was part of Bruce Allen's line of thinking. If I fire him now, mm-hmm. you get the Dolphins, you probably get a W, you can start to build some positive momentum.
Oh, that's sweet. That's a sweet way of thinking, my man. All right, we posted the same question on Twitter and on Facebook. On Twitter, at DC Sports Addict tweeted the run game, which was pretty evident from the jump. At Report Redskins tweeted, Coach Gruden didn't play the Dolphins. Again, that's what Ray was talking about. A lot of Skins fans believe it's just the Dolphins. On Facebook, John Ford Jr. posted, honestly, the only thing that really seemed different was the commitment to the run game and Adrian Peterson's ability. Other than that, anything else can be left to argue that it was just the level of opponent. Yeah, the Dolphins again were one of the worst defenses in terms of stopping the run. It was a great matchup for the Washington Redskins. But again, I'm with Ray in terms of if that was Jay Gruden, I don't think he would have been committed to the run. He would have been cool with throwing the football. And it wouldn't be trying to inflict, you know, impose his will in terms of the run game. Jay wouldn't have done that. Jay would have went with the pass game or the short pass game, while Callahan was all about running the football. It's that simple. But the Skins got the undefeated 49ers up next. Could this team shock the world? We'll discuss this after the break. Listen to Urban Sports saying for ages. You dig? Deuces.
Turn everything up in that little. Yeah, but we gonna keep that.
You claim you're real, but you're rolling fake. Rolling fake. Say you my dog, but you know you snakes. Like Machiavelli, I'm about to snap. About to snap. Like Curtis Jackson, go and get the strap. I got the Donald Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King. How about the Donald Martin Luther King? Yeah. I hold so hard, I go and get the check. They want me dead, yeah, like a Malcolm X. Had that ambition, bro.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Ray Jeezy. I'm Ole. About to mess up. Use my old name. Will T is out. Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers are coming to town to take on the Washington Redskins. If he stayed in D.C. and became the head coach, what would have been, man? What would have happened?
I wonder if the Redskins would have had the patience for a rebuild because obviously this didn't happen overnight in San Francisco. It's just like even his first year as the OC in Atlanta, Atlanta's offense was bad. they started out like 5-0, but it was fluke. And for the remainder of that season, they struggled. Even Matt Ryan was frustrated with Kyle Shanahan's offense. But then once he grasped it, they ended up going to the Super Bowl the following season, which was great. However, I don't know if that would have been the case here. The offense would have been good. But now the shocking thing about the 49ers is, and I know we'll talk about the upcoming game, but their defense looks good.
It's real, man. All the first rounders, man. They've been drafting.
And their defense also gets after the quarterback, which is so critical. So I'm happy for Kyle Shanahan. Obviously, he comes from a good coaching tree, and he's got so much experience. It's like with him, you don't have to worry about the offense. Like Jay Gruden, if he could have just got a defense in place, my goodness. But we're talking about different general managers, different management. That's the big difference what Kyle Shanahan is dealing with. So he might not have been able to build this same type of team here in Washington, unfortunately, because of who's in the front office.
Yeah.
And many of us think until the front office changes, not a whole lot will change. We don't care if you move back to D.C. We don't care if it's a new stadium. There needs to be a good football mind in the front office making personnel decisions.
No, agreed. I think that, like you mentioned it, Kyle Shanahan went to a situation in San Francisco where they built it a certain way. You hear the same thing about Sean McVay with the Rams. Everybody's like, man, dang, man, we let the best coach out. If we had Sean McVay, we would have been the Super Bowl. We would have had this, that, and the other. Sean McVay, look what the Rams are doing. The Rams just traded to get Jalen Ramsey. Skins ain't making moves like that. The Rams went last season and got Dominic Sue. The Skins ain't making moves like that. The Rams got, at the time, they got who got traded today. They got Marcus Peters. Skins weren't making moves like that. The Rams were aggressively getting better. The year that Sean McVay just got to the Rams, they signed Sammy Watkins Jr. Then they got Brandon Cooks the year after. The Rams are making bowl championship moves. You know what I mean? So, yeah, Sean McVay is winning with the LA Rams. He probably wouldn't do that with the Skins because the Skins weren't going to go that route. So it's just different, man. It's different. Same here with Shanahan. Like Ray said, they weren't gonna do a rebuild. And to be honest with you, they weren't gonna probably get the players that would put Shanahan over the top in terms of having the supreme talent. So it is what it is, man. I don't think he wins here, but it's a good thing. It's something to think about, though, right? If he was here, would like Griffin still be the quarterback? Who would be the quarterback?
What's interesting is when you had his dad here as coach. All reports was that he didn't even want Robert Griffin.
Yeah, it would be Kurt.
This was the ownership that wanted RG3. As a matter of fact, I thought it was Ryan Tannehill that I heard that.
Yeah, that's what you mean, the draft. That's what the word is. Shanahan wanted. Now, Mike Shanahan wanted.
Why? Refresh my memory. Why did they draft two quarterbacks that year? Did they figure that RG3, they might need an insurance policy?
It's an insurance.
You know what I mean? And then look, Kirk actually worked out. He worked out for the next coach, which is hilarious. But with that example, ownership stepping in and saying, no, this is the guy we want. I'm assuming, again, it probably wouldn't work. He's going to have to, him being Dan Snyder and also, of course, Bruce Allen.
Man, that's the one.
If Bruce is going to be here. I mean, because I think Dan Snyder, as evidenced by Jay Gruden staying as long as he did, I think he's definitely trying to take his hands off, and he has taken his hands off. So, you know, that's what they're going to need. We were talking about Mike Tomlin, who now reports that's a long shot, but man, you're trying to give a good football mind complete control. With Shanahan, you could say it didn't work, but again, it sounded like ownership was kind of stepping in and meddling a bit.
Yeah, that was the situation. They got in love with RG. You're right. The ownership was in that whole Griffin situation.
Even with Jay Gruden as well. I mean,
with Jay,
there was some pushback when he wanted to start Cousins initially, because he ended up playing RG3 longer than he wanted to.
But he gave Cousins the opportunity. So people forget, like, Cousins got the opportunity in week two.
When he got hurt, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, hurt. Yeah. That was he got Jaguars the opportunity, and he's had a good game, and then after that, he bombed.
Before RG3 got hurt, yeah. though, in that particular game against the Jaguars, he was having his best game in a while.
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't a bad game, but again, it wasn't Kurt. Jay, they let Jay say, oh, okay, if you want to play Kurt, I'm going to give you this opportunity. Kurt bombed, and then it was what it was. Then then Colt McCoy ended up being the starting quarterback not too long after that anyway.
That's true.
He got an opportunity.
He got an extra opportunity.
Yeah, I felt like Jay got what he wanted. You know, the ownership was like, you know what? If this is what you believe in, we're going to let you do what you want to do. And that's what happened. And, you know, even though the owner, I believe, did want to play, he did want Griffin to start. Like, he wanted Griffin to start bad. But it was what it was, man. On Twitter, you want to say something real quick?
No, go ahead.
On Twitter, let me post the same question on Twitter and Facebook. George tweeted, but would he succeed with this owner and this management setup? The Niners owner stays out of the way, and Shanahan and Lynch are on the same page. It's cool. That's true. Again,
I appreciate your perspective, George.
Mm-hmm. At RJP_3, like the Roman numeral 3, tweeted, I said the same thing when John Elway passed on him as the Broncos coach, but who are we? on Facebook, Scott Cohen posted, it's so Redskins to let two young coaches go on to be successful. Even look at Preston Smith. What is wrong with this team? I don't get it. Preston Smith is balling in Green Bay. That is true. You know, a lot of people were like mad at Preston Smith that he's balling in Green Bay. Nelson Barnes, the second, posted, y'all would have run that dude out as well.
I'm telling you, the fact that we're all saying the same thing, it says something.
It says something.
So we know we're correct.
Yeah. Ron Dorsey posted, Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, and Matt LaFleur were all in the building at the same damn time. This is so true. All these dudes were in the building at the same time.
It really sucks, but here's the thing. If you're going to shock the world this week, then you got to focus on the guys that you got here.
Yeah, exactly.
Not
that's
the woulda, shoulda, coulda.
That's true.
And what if, blah, blah, blah. So get the ball out quick if you're Case Keenum. He's good at doing that because, again, this 49ers team, they blitz the quarterback well and stay committed to running that football, control that clock, keep that 49ers offense off the field.
Mm-hmm.
You're at home. Hopefully, your fan base shows up. If they pack the stadium with 49ers fans.
I think it'll be packed with 49ers fans.
Wow. East Coast, the 49ers?
Dog, I think so. I think it will be packed with Niners fans. And now, you know, real talk, there are a lot of Niners fans in this area, too.
I wouldn't know that. Yeah, I can't argue that. But.
Yeah, because, you know, they linger from the years when we were younger.
Oh, the Jerry Rice,
don't forget, man. Yeah, same. Yeah, they linger from the years when we were younger. They just don't talk anymore because they've been bad. They came back out when Harbaugh and they came back out when Harbaugh was winning games. When they played the Ravens, they came back out.
Yeah, well, let's see what happens. Mm-hmm. That's all I can say.
Adam posted more stable, but Snyder and Allen have been the X factors that messed things up. Chris Johnson posted the same. We just spent the last 2 weeks learning that Snyder won't stop screwing with the team, so it would be the same. I don't think Snyder's been screwing with. I think it's more Bruce Allen. I've been saying this for a while. I think Bruce Allen is the devil of the squad.
Well, historically, it's been Snyder. Now it looks like it's Bruce Allen, just based again on just Jay's longevity.
Yeah,
if you ask me, or his tenure, I should say.
Cause
he lasted longer than Marty.
Yes, I'm saying
than Joe.
Could you imagine, like, if it was old Snyder, you think Jay would have, how long Jay would have been gone?
Well, the old Snyder, Jalen Ramsey might have already been on.
Exactly.
The
That's what I was telling somebody else. I said this.
He might have thrown the bag at everybody.
I said this on a group chat. I was like, this is why I miss the old Snyder.
Yeah.
You want a Bama. Jalen Ramsey.
That's kind of scary, though. Because sometimes he just spent too much money on the wrong guy.
That's true. But man.
Odell Beckham would have been a receiver on his team. It would have been bad.
And I bet you FedEx would be sold out though. You got all these names. I bet you FedEx would be sold out.
You said it. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over.
Hey man, he hasn't done it anymore. That's the problem.
Now you want the old Dan to resurface.
You listen to the Urban Sports Scene, Ray Jeezy, myself, Ole. So you already mentioned what you said about pulling up the upset in terms of running the football, getting the ball out quick. Most important thing, not turning the ball over. This Niners team capitalizes on turnovers, not turning the ball over, running the football, using AP to his ability. Got to do that. If you can do that, you can stay in the game. I'm not going to say you're going to win the game. You can stay in the game.
Well, again, defensively, your personnel is pretty good individually. Collectively, the unit has been in games, but they have not finished.
Yeah, sure.
If you can put together good defensive effort, you can do exactly what Tampa did. And Tampa had the 49ers on the ropes.
That's right. They did.
And
sure
blew
did.
It in Tampa. I'm telling you, it's not out the realm of possibility. I don't have the heart to pick the Redskins anymore at this point. I'm not going to lie.
I think I will, though.
But.
Because I need to catch. I need the wing. I need to catch.
However, I'm telling you, it's a possibility. And winning this division is not out of the realm of possibility either. I'm telling you.
All right, man. Well, anyway.
Now the question.
It's time to make our Week 7 NFL picks. We'll do that after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. For Aegis, you dig? Doses.
Whoa. Yeah, I done did a lot of things in my day. I admit it, I don't take back what I say. If I said it, then I meant it. All my life I won a Grammy, but I probably never get it. I ain't never had no trophy or no motherfucking ribbon. Fuck the system, I'm that bend the law, cut the rules. I'm about to risk it all, I ain't got too much to lose. Y'all been eating long enough, it's my turn to cut the food. Pass the plate with my drink, this my day. Lucky you, hope you do. Woo! Y'all gotta move, y'all gotta move. Move. Give me some room, give me some room. Give me the juice. How about the coupe? How about the coupe? How about a shoot? Y'all gotta move, y'all gotta move. Give me the juice. Back on my bullets, my back to the wall. Turn my back on you all and you finish. Back to these bullets, it's back to the job. Put my hand out and all of you running. Back on my hood, it's just back to the pushing. These tights and I'm actually pumping. Can't fuck with you rappers, you practically sucking. You might have went platinum, but that don't mean nothing. I'm actually buzzing this time. Straight out the kitchen, I told them the oven is mine. I do not fuck with you guys. If I don't kill you, just know you gon' suffer this time. I ain't no gangster, but I got some bangers, some chains and some blazing, a couple of nines. Choppers and jimmies, a partridge, a petri. My 20s and Christmas was nothing but lies. Run at you hot like a sumo. They say I talk like a chulo. I live in Mars, I'm not Bruno. If you're my duck, call me Cujo. You play your cards, I reverse on you all, and I might just drop all like a Uno.
Listen to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Ole, and Ray, Jeezy, Will T's out. It's time to make our, wrong time. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. We have a weekly battle of NFL pick'em games with them. Here is what we did in week six. Will and I went 8-6, and Ray went 4-10.
4-10?
Yeah, he went 4-10.
Oh, okay. It wasn't as bad as what I thought.
You thought it was worse than 4-10?
Yeah. It was a tough week.
Yeah, it was a tough week for a lot of people.
My upset pick was actually Detroit.
I got screwed.
They got screwed big time with some bad calls because otherwise, to me, they had that game. Yeah. Two straight drives.
They did have that
allowed
game.
The Packers to extend drives at home. Mm-hmm. Just wasn't fair. And then, you know, Washington won. I just couldn't pick them no more. No. Other than that, I have no regrets. I don't.
I love the way you said that. Other than that, I have no regrets. All right. So,
And I'm still only down one game. I had a horrible day.
Yeah. So, believe me. It's not like you.
We've all had some bad days. Yeah. But like I said, if there was one year I had to pick, as far as the most competitive year, as far as picking games,
I think this year,
folks picking upsets, folks stepping out, you know, on faith and picking out and picking teams that normally nobody would pick.
Yeah.
This is the year. However, me picking the Falcons every week has been like the detriment. I take that back. I do have some regrets. I keep picking these guys as a fan, and I've never done that before.
This year,
that was supposed to be my mantra. Backfiring on me right now.
Real talk, you never have though. That's like my move. That's like my mood, dog. You never have. You're right, though. Here are our overall
records.
They
made Deshaun Watson look like a Heisman.
Hey, yo. I'm 50-41. Ray is second. Is 49-42. Will T is in third.
Raheem Morris, let him take over.
48-43. Here are the records from the Football Garbage Time Mob. Hakun Wong and Scott are 56-35. Ryan is 54-37. And Joanne is 50-41. The homie George is 52-39. All right, so here are our picks. I'm gonna start with the first game, the Thursday night game, Chiefs Broncos.
Man, I'm going with the Chiefs to bounce back. Although right now defensively, they are really not. Good. I'm saying like that. Trying to be positive.
Yeah, their defense is horrible. But you know,
see,
I can't
say horrible. I said really not good, which is not what I want to say either.
But I want to say
we'll
horrible.
Take it.
I'm going with the Chiefs too, though. Rams, Falcons. I got Will's picks. I'll say Will's picks.
Yeah, sorry, man. I gotta deviate. I need to change my name when I pick up. I see Atlanta every week. I'm going to the Rams. I can't do this no more. And watch the Falcons win the week. Maybe it's the Jinx.
It's the Jinx.
Let's go. I got the LA Rams.
Hey, I got the Rams, man. They just got Jalen Ramsey, man. I'm going with the Rams. Dolphins, Bills.
They're not good either right now.
For the Rams? Not really. They had a whole girly play. And Jared Goff looking like, you know.
I still can't pick the Dolphins. I'm sorry. That's the perfect remedy for a struggling team. Dolphins, Bills. Gosh. Yeah, Fitzpatrick, because it's
14. And like Fitzpatrick's going to start.
Got to go with the Bills.
I'm going with the Bills. Jaguars, Bengals. I don't care. Yeah. I don't care. I don't care if Jalen's gone. Bengals suck. I'm going with the Jaguars. Who you going to go with?
I'll take the Jaguars, too. I can't do
Vikings, Lions. Upset special?
I'm going with Detroit. I don't trust Cousins yet. I know he had a big game.
I don't trust Cousins. I trust the Vikings defense. Give me the Vikings. I don't trust Cousins. They better get the ball to Dalvin Cook for my fan.
I'll take the Lions.
My sorry ass fantasy team.
I'll take the Lions.
Give me the Vikings. Packers, Raiders. At Lambeau Field.
Yeah, give me the Raiders.
Okay, give me the Packers. Texans versus the Colts.
Give me the Colts.
Yeah, give me the Texans. Cardinals, Giants. This is a stinker. This is like,
oh, God, it's a hard one. I'll take the Giants, though.
Give me the Cardinals. Something about that game pisses me off. Niners, Skins.
Give me a 49.
Give me the Skins. Woo.
I know. It can happen. I said it already, but I can't pick it.
Dude, I need an upset.
Just can't pick it.
I know, right? I believe in Callahan. Chargers versus Titans.
I will take the Titans. The Chargers, I don't know what's going on.
I'm going to take the Chargers, but I don't trust them. I feel like I'm picking the Chargers every week. I feel like I have to take the Chargers every week.
I know. Even the obvious games.
I know, right? I feel like, sheesh, man. My love of Philip Rivers is like killing me right now. The Saints and Bears. Saints versus the Bears.
Where's this game at?
It's in Chicago.
Yeah, give me the Bears.
I got the Bears, too. That defense is too real. I think Teddy about to get it that game. Ravens versus the Seahawks. It's in Seattle.
I don't care where the game is. I'll take Baltimore.
Yeah, give me the Seahawks. Okay. Eagles versus the Cowboys in Dallas.
Gosh, it's a tough one.
Deshaun back this game? They said he's feeling better.
It don't even matter. The Cowboys defense just sucks right now. Good right now. Give me the Eagles.
Eagles. I got the Eagles, too. I never pick the Cowboys. Patriots, other than the Dolphins. Patriots versus the Jets.
Ooh, this is a hard one.
It sure is.
Because the Patriots are beatable.
They are beatable. They're not the same dominant Patriots squad right now.
But they find ways to freak them.
They sure do.
I'll take the Patriots.
I got the Patriots, too. All right. Will T pick the Chiefs, the Packers, the Rams, the Niners, the Colts, the Vikings, the Jaguars, the Cardinals, the Bills, the Chargers, the Seahawks, the Saints, and the Eagles and the Patriots. So those are Will T's picks.
Perfect. You know what?
Will T's making a run, though. I know I insulted him earlier. He's making a run, though. He's doing...
Well, again, it's week to week. Yeah, you know? It is. Anything can happen. But like I said, I'm not mad at nobody. In previous years, I thought, Will was a safe...
Yeah, I thought he picked a lot. Yeah, I'm with you. He picked
but
safe stuff.
But now, he's going for it. Really? Did he pick the Jets or the Patriots? I didn't even look at his
picks. I believe... Sorry, I'm looking back now. Patriots. He picked the Patriots.
Okay, all right. I was going to say, because he picked Buffalo to beat the Patriots. It almost happened.
It almost happened, yeah. And it didn't, though. Almost doesn't count.
And I know. I'm just saying, still. A lot of almost, came out of
me
Sunday.
Me too. Yeah, I know. A lot of almost happened.
Who cares? Let's continue to have fun. Do our thing.
Yeah, exactly. Let's live life to the fullest.
Fantasy.
Ryan, I suck right
Ryan,
now.
Ryan got at you, man.
Yeah, he getting at me, bro. Everybody, look, man. Everybody getting at
me. Is he coming for you on Twitter?
Yeah.
This guy Todd is killing me. I don't know why he keeps on sending me trade offers, different ones. And he's not offering me anything in return.
Bro, like, I'm getting, substance. Like, bro, right now, like, everybody getting it. They coming at me. You got Will texting me. You know what I'm saying? Will text the group.
Again. Will talking again, like, though, but look, as bad as you've had a couple, losses here, dude. You're like one game out of a playoff spot, though.
I could be. I have no idea. I'm 2-4, so it is what it is.
Will's 4-2. He's in first place. He's tied for first place.
Oh, he is? That's why he feels so good about himself?
Yeah, but you're only two games back at first place. Man,
I know it's not. But
that's why I'm not talking trash. I was 2-0 at one point. Will was depressed at 0-2. But Will's team is balling. I can't fake. He's putting up major
Will,
points.
Man.
All right. With that being said.
Subscribe to our you
United
put it in
Suns.
Go ahead. <dog. laughs> Subscribe to our Urban Sports Team podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene or hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. All right, man. It's a great show. Awesome. But thank you all for listening. We appreciate you. But you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces. Hey, Mega. Lead us out, big homie.